Well, good morning. On behalf of TBC, Tarryn Baptist Church, I welcome all who are joining with us today. And this morning, we begin a new series. It's entitled Notorious. Now, the dictionary definition of that word means to be well known for something bad. So, we'll be looking at some of the rogues, some of the scoundrels, some of the scallywags found in Scripture. And we commence today at the beginning with Cain, notorious for the murder of his brother. And we're going to read from Genesis 4. Now, Adam had sexual relations with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant. When she gave birth to Cain, she said, "With the Lord's help, I have produced a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother and named him Abel. When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd, while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. And this made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. "Why are you so angry?" the Lord asked Cain. "Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master." One day, Cain suggested to his brother, "Let's go out into the fields." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother and killed him. Afterward, the Lord asked Cain, "Where is your brother? Where is Abel?" "I don't know," Cain responded. "Am I my brother's guardian?" But the Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are cursed and banished from the ground which has swallowed your brother's blood. No longer will the ground yield good crops for you, no matter how hard you work. From now on, you will be a homeless wanderer on the earth." Amen. Let's pray. Father, as we consider this story today, then we pray that you speak to us as individuals and as a church, revealing to us those things that you know that we need to know and be aware of. Amen. So this is a gloomy story, but hopefully it carries not only warnings of dangers, but it also lifts our thoughts to the message of hope that is so helpful and so needful at this difficult time that we're going through. Now, the story raises many questions, not least, why did God accept Abel's offering but not Cain's? On the face of it, it seems rather mean of God to accept the produce of a a livestock farmer and reject the produce of the arable farmer. But there's an overarching truth that runs through Scripture and sheds some light on this acceptance of Abel's gift, but not of Cain's. In Isaiah 5, 8 to 9, we read this. "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So that tells us that God's perspective, his view of things, is different to ours. And it begins to shed some light on that acceptance of the one gift, but not of the other. So, in what ways is God's perspective different? Well, Scripture sheds more light. 1 Samuel 16:7 tells us, "The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So we are learning that God thinks in a different way to ourselves, a higher, a better, a more perfect way. And he's more concerned with what we might call heart attitude than with outward appearance. Jesus alludes to this when he refers to the Pharisees, the religious people of his day, as whitewashed tombs. "Beautiful on the outside," he says, "but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness." And indeed, there's an ongoing revelation in Scripture of the nature and character of God. So the writer to the Hebrews concludes in chapter 1:1-3, that long ago God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets, but now in these last days he's spoken to us through his Son. And listen to this, "The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God." So we begin to see in Jesus, in terms that we can understand, the character of God. How fortunate we are that in and through him, Jesus, God opens his heart to us and encourages us to open our hearts to him. And all of this may begin to help us to understand that God's rejection of Cain's offering is nothing to do with the contents of his offering, the produce that he bought, but it's to do with Cain's attitude. Jesus warns this. He says, "If you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar and you suddenly remember that somebody has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. And those verses are from that New Testament section that we know as the Sermon on the Mount. And in that teaching, in that sermon, then Jesus turns our world values upside down. And he challenges us with God's values. And they're to do with openness, with honesty towards him and towards others, with care and concern for our neighbour. God's values offer the hope of peace, peace with God, peace with ourselves, and peace with others. The opening words of the Sermon on the Mount have come to be known as the Beatitudes, or as our friend, who most of you know, Tony Boot, calls them, the beautiful attitudes. And the problem for Cain was that he didn't have a beautiful attitude. He had the opposite. He had a bad attitude. And this led to an unfolding tragedy. Bad attitude, anger, assassination, abdication, and finally, alienation. Matthew, Luke, Hebrews, 1 John, Jude, all carry illuminating comments on Cain or on Abel. I've suggested that Cain's attitude began the unfolding of this whole sorry mess. When Cain brought his offering to God, his attitude was wrong. His heart was not in it. He was going through the motions, with no real interest, no investment in what he was doing. John, in his first letter, exposes even more. He says, Cain had been doing what was evil, and his brother doing what was right. So in fact, not only was Cain's attitude wrong, it seems his lifestyle was wrong. Doing what was evil. In common parlance, he was a bad un. His bad attitude had led him into bad ways. Or as the Bible puts it, it had led him into sin. So, we all need to be careful of our attitudes. Anne's going to lead us now in a prayer.
Lord, soften our hearts that we might be ever open to you and have a wholesome and helpful attitude towards others. Amen.
Cain's bad attitude needed to express itself. And it expressed itself in anger. Indeed, his attitude and God's apparent rejection of his offering led to anger management issues. Cain became very angry. And this showed on his face, because we read that he looked downcast, or he looked dejected. He was angry with God. But what do you do with anger towards God? You might rail at him, you might shout at him, but there's nothing you can do. And that anger seeks a focus somewhere, and the inclination is to transfer that anger onto someone else. And this is exactly what Cain did. He focused his anger on his brother Abel, instead of asking God to help him to deal with it. And that anger festered and grew and resulted in the disaster of assassination. Not all anger is sin. And probably many are feeling angry at the moment. Anger at this awful virus, perhaps angry with some of the restrictions that are being imposed upon us as we seek to control the thing. But we need to beware of lingering rage and bitterness. That can lead to terrible outcomes. James gives good advice. Understand this, my dear brothers, he says. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Let's pray again as Anne leads us.
Lord, help us to be slow to take offence, and slow to anger, and quick to forgive. Amen.
Cain's anger sought expression, and, well, sadly, it culminated in assassination. The damage that anger can cause. We see this sometimes in things like a road rage, where people are actually injured because of the anger of a driver. You know, Jesus views it thus. He says, you've heard that our ancestors were told, you must not commit murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. The implication of this, of these words, is that to be angry is murder in thought, if not in deed. And the story of Cain well illustrates the truth of this teaching of Jesus and how anger can get out of control and result in awful things. So I earlier used the word assassination rather than murder because Cain's actions appear to be premeditated. He suggests a walk in the field, and we read simply, while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. There's no reason given. There are no details. Simply the report of an attack and a death. anger with God finds an outlet on a brother at one with God, and it results in his death. Jesus says, "Blessed are those who work for peace, for they will become children of God." They will be called children of God. Oh, that we might be able to tell God about our anger and let him deal with it. Let's pray again.
Lord, you are the living word, offering peace instead of strife. Help us through the power of your Spirit to be your messengers of peace and hope. Amen.
We read in Genesis 4, verse 9, afterwards, that's after this murder, this assassination, afterwards, the Lord asked Cain, "Where is your brother? Where is Abel?" "I don't know," Cain responded. "Am I my brother's guardian? Am I my brother's guardian?" I'm using here the word abdication, because Cain abdicated his responsibility for his brother. "Where is Abel?" said God. God, of course, knew exactly where Abel was. It was a rhetorical question. And contrary to Cain's response, he was his brother's guardian. He was his brother's keeper, as some translations have it, because the welfare of the younger was the responsibility of the older. Cain had not only abdicated responsibility, but he trampled that responsibility into the ground. And the evidence, the shed blood of Abel, cried out to God. Jesus offers the opportunity of reconciliation with God. And our responsibility as God's children is to love the God with all our heart and mind and strength, and to love our neighbor, to love our brother, to love our sister as ourself. So the challenge to us is to be active in our communities, demonstrating God's love in action and not abdicating our responsibility to be our brother, our sister's keeper or guardian. So let's pray again.
Lord, forgive us when we abdicate our responsibilities. May our love for you be demonstrated as we seek to serve others day by day. Amen.
The sad end to this story is that it leads to alienation from God for Cain. And there was all along a choice, alienation or acceptance. It's a sad ending for all involved. It's sad for the parents. One son dead, the other a murderer, banished. It's sad for Abel. He died far too young. It's sad for Cain, a troubled young man whose anger got out of control. It's sad for God, observing the destructive power of sin. And the result is that Cain is banished. He becomes a restless wanderer, alienated from family and from God. And there's a sort of restlessness in each one of us away from God. And yet, within his family, that restlessness is assuaged because we find peace in his presence. And for Cain, it was not inevitable that the story would end up like this. There was always the possibility of acceptance for him. When God noted Cain's anger, he addressed him, verse 6, like this. He said, "Why are you so angry? Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right." And he warns him, "Watch out. Sin is crouching at your door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master." So there was the possibility there of acceptance for Cain. He needed to subdue that call of sin upon his life and subdue it. And thankfully, we have the help of the Holy Spirit so that we may do that. We may turn aside from temptation and be at peace with our God. Unfortunately, Cain rejects the outstretched hand of fellowship, and he ignores the warning, and tragedy ensues. We all fail. The danger is that some may view failure as a terminal act, and that's quite wrong. If we have fallen, then let us get up and allow grace to turn that downcast, dejected face into a smile. A smile of relief, a smile of joy once more. There is help. There is hope for a better day ahead, as we celebrate the joy of forgiveness. Even in these difficult times, we have that knowledge of God with us. Emmanuel, He gives the hope that we all need right now. Let's come to him again in prayer as Anne leads us.
Lord, help me to accept the gift of grace you offer. The gift that brings hope when I feel hopeless about myself. Thank you that you are with us at this time, and indeed that Jesus promised to be with us always, even to the end. Amen.